There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Welcome to the Shrimp and Savrette Show, a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts and delivered by DoorDash.
Shrimpy, welcome back. We've had some time off. I know you got a good tan going on. I know you were out playing some golf out west. Last I talked to you, you were in the beautiful city of, or village or township of Fulton, New York. Where are you at and where have you been, buddy?
Yeah, that's right. Last time we talked, it was my parents' house in upstate New York. Yeah. From there, I went out to, out east to Rhode Island to do a camp with Level Up Hockey, Zach Capelli. We did a little showcase there with the kids and did a camp inside of that. And then from there, I came home for a couple of days and headed out to LA. Work with a kid, Troy Negus, and a group of kids. While I was there, one of the kids committed, Drake Murray committed to Harvard. So guy there was a bunch of kids, a bunch of really good kids. The Yee brothers go down the list. You can name a bunch of players, Ian Alonzo. So there was a good group, was with them for 5 days. Got a chance while I was out there. Actually, there was, the Wires kid was out there. He's going to be going to Knights camp next week. I believe it's next week. And when I was out there, Greg Barber, my old billet, texted me. He's like, "Hey, Wires out there. He wants stuff. You want to play some golf?" So I was like, "Yeah, of course. It's Cali. Check it out." It turns out I got a chance to play Bel Air, which was sick. Had to use rentals, which was okay. I wound up checking up a 78.
Shoes or no?
With some rental clubs. I did wear shoes. My wife was is a sweetheart, bought me some Air Jordans for my birthday. So got to walk that course in Jordans. And I'll actually send over a clip for Mark to post on our feed. But I got a sick shot coming down 17 at about 7:45 at night. And the moon's in the backdrop right over UCLA campus. It's something, one of those moments of a lifetime. You don't get that too often. So I was pumped. And not to go on too long of a story, but from there, I flew up here to Vancouver, working with a group of kids, three groups, a young middle-aged group with some older kids. And then the older group, there's about 7 or 8 first round draft picks in the WHL. So it's been a pretty cool little whirlwind here. And it's been fun getting on the ice with these kids and working together. So a little development trip for me and get to see the world a bit. So about yourself, what have you been up to? Give me the goods. I kind of rambled on about what I've been up to. I hear what you're doing.
Now that the pros are back on the ice, the team I coach in London, kids that are draft eligible into the OHL, we're out. I run a little league throughout the, I don't want to say summer, but the later parts of the summer so that it preps kids heading into their season. So that's sort of wrapping up. But it's good because kids don't really get a chance to play against different age groups. You're always sort of stuck with your birth year. And the last year or so I've opened it up to have kids that are going into their OHL draft year all the way through. And it's probably a five age range that we're going through. So the kids get a chance to play with the other elite players around locally that they've probably been on the ice for or after for development and stuff like that, but never actually had a chance to play with them. So we mix the teams up a little bit. So there's all ages on all the teams. We have a couple girls in the development skates as well. So it's been pretty good, but hockey's getting back in the air. I know World Juniors are on right now. I know we're going to touch on that a little bit more. I haven't really been seeing much of it, but I know with your Latvian roots, it'd be interesting to hear how that's been back there. I had one as a parent, I've had a tough situation. It was my first sort of moment where I was like disappointed, like my heart sank. So as you know, I have three little ones, right? They're all at daycare. So I drop them off at daycare. I rip over to the pro skate, run the pro skate, which is going pretty good. We have a lot of NHL guys buzzing around. So it's a pretty good pace. And we're actually getting some fans coming and watching, which is an autograph seekers, which is pretty funny. But and then I'll rip over to my league skate where the kids born in 07 to 03 are playing games. And then once that done, I head back to the daycare to pick up my kids. And when I'm at my pro skate, I get a message from another mom of one of the children that are at my kids' daycares. And the morning didn't go very well. I was in a rush. My wife was off at work, and usually the kids, I have them dressed pretty well. And my oldest son wasn't the best kid that morning. And anything, he was just defiant, anything, like didn't want to eat, didn't want to wear this shirt, didn't want to. And I was just like flustered. And I'm like, look, dude, put one on, whatever you want on. Right. So he rips upstairs and comes down with like his favorite sweatpants, which were like, they fitted him like 2 years ago. Right. And I'm just like, whatever, no. He's dressed, whatever. And then I tossed a shirt on him, which was like, and he was fighting with me. He's like, I didn't want that shirt. So I knew there was this one shirt that I really liked. It was like this. It was actually my little brother's shirt, who's a 1989 birth, which he would have had when he was 3 years old. It was an NHRA, so drag racing shirt, one of those like white with like the neon orange pink, like I think it was a John Force. He was like the Wayne Gretzky of NHR racing back in the day. And anyways, I bring it down, my kid tosses it on, boom, we get to daycare, drop them off, go to my skates. So I get a text message from a parent of one of my kid's buddies. She sends a picture of my son at daycare wearing this horrible outfit. It was their graduation day. So like I was the only parent not there. Well, for one, no. And my kids look like they had like no parent to begin with. Right. Like my kid's got one black sock on, one white sock on. He's wearing like track pants that are like 4 inches too short. And this t-shirt that literally is from like 1992. But anyways, my heart just sank, cause I was like, oh my God, like I'm decent with scheduling and everything. So I usually put everything in my calendar on my phone. That way I can look it up. And for whatever reason, I had their graduation like the next week, which obviously was going to like dress them, doll them all up and be there and do the photos and that, whatever. But that was a parent moment where I was just like, oh my God. And then to top it off, I'm like, whatever, they're 4 years old, 3 years old. They're not going to, we get to, you know, pick them up, drive them back. It's like, you were the only parent not there. And I'm like, what? And my kid is like giving me the gears, because I was the only parent not there at their graduation, no. Right? Because they're heading off to school now. And I'm just like, oh my God. So anyways, that was last week, and they've had a week of like getting spoiled with ice cream and candy and gifts to try to make up for it. But man, I was it was a tough moment for me. But anyways, back to our hockey talk now. The roller coaster that I just talked to you about that I was on, Calgary has been doing the same thing, right? Last we talked, I think it was Goudreau was gone, Tkachuk was asking for a trade, and then they end up making the trade to get Huberto in, and you're like, okay, yeah, that's a decent trade for guys that are expiring contracts. Then Huberto signs, D-Man will probably sign. Like, it's turning out for Calgary to be like, they're almost the winners of this trade if everyone gets locked up. Do you not think?
Yeah, you know, that's some good pieces with obviously, you know, Huberto is a great player, put up some big points, also a good producer. Matches, you know, Goudreau, and then Mackenzie Weegar's really stabilized or solidified himself in the NHL as a pretty top end D, you know. Creating offensively and pretty good defensively as well. He's not a total risk or total, you know what I mean? Like, what's the right word? Liability. He's pretty solid. So he's looking at the range of like, you know, he's like a $6 or $7 million defenseman. So that trade's really starting to pan out. And like you said, they're starting to get those contracts inked. So it's not going to be that, you know, 1 year rental for, you know, losing Goudreau. So it looks pretty good. I think it's a great fit, to be honest with you. Tkachuk is kind of tough to lose that. There's a lot that, you know, he's a very special player in my mind. He's totally different than Gaudreau. Gaudreau, I mean, very skilled, very high end, but Tkachuk has that, you know, second layer of, you know, pest and physicality. You know, I don't know. That's tough to fill, but they're, you know, they're not empty handed, at least. That's a good thing. You know, they got those long-term deals inked up here, and that's going to give them some, you know, some depth, you know, for a while, for a long time, not just again, like that 1 year rental, which everybody was kind of concerned about.
Yeah. For what it seemed like they were in a bad position with Tkachuk wanting out, like you're trying to get the best you can out of the deal. And, and I think with them locking up both, well, one for sure, but if they lock up Uyghur as well, like that gives them a pretty strong, you know, back end, which sort of gives them some flexibility to offload, you know, a D-man, whether it be Shillington or whoever that can is serviceable, but he's going to be probably in a fifth spot. And I think he's maybe a little bit better than that, but you know, it gives them an opportunity to maybe offload some pieces to add some things. But our producer Mark was saying before we jumped on here that I guess there was a leaked information that Tree Living went to Montreal to meet up with Huberto before they ended up signing the contract. And obviously the contract was inked. And obviously with Tree Living being the Boston pizza guy, do you think they went to Boston pizza?
Some appies, some like half off appies,
or like
they went for like half off appies so they can get this deal done. You know,
maybe who knows, but it's just funny. It would be interesting to see. I would say maybe not, they would have, but who knows? It'd be actually hilarious if they actually did.
They probably went there and then brought their own wine. You know, I could see that being a thing. They brought their own Opus One or whatever, brought their own Camus, but like we're ordering half off appies. Good. It's a happy medium. You know, that's all about negotiation, right? Give a little, get a little. I think that might be the play. That'd be hilarious. That would be priceless.
And then, so he signed obviously a pretty big deal as did Tkachuk, but then you can almost go a little more east to Boston where no one really knew what was going to happen with Bergeron. And then Bergeron and Krejci both sign two deals that are really team friendly in a cap era. And obviously they've won before. They've been there for a long time. I think they are pretty comfortable with their pocketbook. I almost wonder if more players that are, I don't want to say declining in their career, but they're obviously not at the peak anymore. They're now just thinking, I just want to win. I wonder if guys that have stored away, you know, 40 million, 50 million, if they're like, you know what, me signing for 3 million against the cap versus 1 million, one, and then you guys can use the 2 million to juice up the team or to give ourselves a chance to win a cup. Because ultimately at that point, I think in your career, you're just trying to win, right? Like you should be set with money. What's the difference of another?
Yeah.
It sounds petty that we're saying this right now. Like what's the difference of $2 million? That's a lot of money to a lot of people. But for someone that's made 80 million bucks, like, you know,
well, I mean, the other thing too is like that gesture. Well, I mean, it doesn't even need to be, I don't know if it needs to be said, but the gesture is that the organization will then look after you further on down your career, down your life, you know, outside of hockey. You know, it's like whatever, if you want to be player about whatever you want to be, right? Something in management, like, you know, giving up this money to not be selfish now. And the other thing to be said, obviously, Bergeron is an example where he's proven his character for 20 years now, almost whatever the number is exactly. It's roughly 20 years. He's been such a standout guy. So him doing something like that is no surprise. As a blueprint, it's tough to say, cause it's tough to play 17, 18 years, you know, it really is. You know, we talk about it a lot, but our friend of ours, you know, but we play with in junior Corey Perry, right? He's been able to do that. There's not many guys that have been able to play that long and have that long of a career to have this option. Stored up that much cake and being able to make that move, but to touch on it, like, obviously it makes sense. Like that's, you know, 38 years old, 37 years old. You're not really greedy about money. You probably have plenty in the bank. That winning is way more important. Taking a stab at it versus, like you said, 2 million extra bucks at 37 versus, you know, whatever, just making a good run, getting the right group of guys around you. Let's, you know, you take the other side, like you take that 2 extra million bucks, they can't sign it, you know, type of player that it would take to win. And then you, for your last year, struggle and don't win games. Like, which one would you rather?
Yeah.
You know, even some guys that don't have the money, they would rather win. I could say personally for me, I never played. I didn't have this long career. Didn't make a ton of cake like everybody, but just never, it never was about money. It was always, I wanted to win and win the game, you know, have a season, have a chance of winning championships. So that's always seems to be a, for most guys, I think it's a factor of just wanting to win. You know, it sucks to suck. You know, playing, we've been on a few teams that were tough. And, you know, I can say in my minor league career, it's tough. Losing games is horrible. It's the worst. That's our purpose, playing the game, winning, trying to win a championship. And, you know, there's times if you're out of it by December or January, it sucks. And I know it's a sport, and maybe outside people, it's like, you're playing a sport. Well, that's hard for you to relate with us, but it's really tough mentally to recover from that kind of thing, a losing season, not having the things that it takes or the pieces that it takes to win. It's frustrating. So seeing these guys do that. And I think a good thing with Krejci is like having a year to go over to Europe and kind of unwind a little bit, be back in Czech Republic, native country, less games, less on the body. I think that'll be good for him. I think I personally will have a good season. I'm not saying like lead the league in points, but I'm just saying rejuvenated, get that spring back in his step, you know, not having the taxi of, you know, he played a lot of games over the, you know, 2000, whatever, 9, 2010 to 2000 when he left, 2018-ish, 19. They played a ton of hockey, playoffs every year, deep runs, Stanley Cup championships. So I think that'll be exciting to see him come back and see him pair back up with those guys. And it'd be, you know, I think it'd be a fun team to watch come out of the gate.
Yeah. And not to go off script a little bit, but when he had signed, I had read an article, which I didn't even know at the time, but it was about 36 months prior to him playing for Boston he played as an underage, right? Or whatever you call it, like an 18-year-old. 36 months prior to that, he was cut by his Triple A team.
No way.
Yeah. So, and I was just thinking about, you know, now that we're into August, it's getting into, you know, tryouts for minor hockey and everything that up this way anyways in London. And I'm sort of fielding the conversations with the parents and players where it's like, what do you think? Where do we go type thing? It's like, look, you just want to get touches, right? You're better to be a top tier guy on a team at the level below than being a player just making the top tier in London or in Ontario. It's called AAA. And sort of just trying to stay afloat, right? If you're the ninth forward, or you're just like, you're just hanging on. Whereas if you can go down and be the guy who's the go-to guy, your personal development is going to be a lot greater. And I just thought it was interesting when I read that, where Bergeron, he played on my World Junior team. He's my age. And he had come back from Boston to play on our World Junior team. It was the lockout year, but I didn't know that he had played a year of NHL and pretty much, you know, 36 months prior, he was cut from his local AAA team. Right?
Bergeron, I thought you said Krejci. Sorry, I misunderstood.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, if I did, my apologies. I meant Bergeron. But yeah, a guy that gets gassed from his AAA team, goes on to play in the Q, gets drafted, plays as an 18-year-old, really good player as an 18-year-old, and the career he's had, but that's a player that, you know, three years prior.
It was him, wasn't it? Him, Pears, and Crosby on the top line for that team too. Like they were the leading horses on that squad. Yeah. They were sick.
All three of those players are, you know, we talk about like independent, and I think once you get to the World Junior level, everyone is pretty much a independent player. But those are three guys that just, they can play on any line. I think like you can put them with any. You see it with Crosby in Pittsburgh. He shuffles through wingers all the time, and they're just producing, you know, player after player, always there. Pears has been in the finals, a bunch of different teams. Bergeron's been fortunate to be sort of with that same line for the longest period of time, but he's a player that all three of those guys are just, you know, no matter who they're playing with, they make everyone else around them better. And that tournament, yeah, they were a really dominant force for sure. And obviously, speaking World Juniors, now that you brought it back, it was clever of you, Rob. The World Juniors are going on right now at West, and I know with your Latvian heritage, they advanced to the quarterfinal. What's the word like back home in Latvia for what these young guys have done?
Yeah, it's super exciting what they're doing and you know, breaking history for their country in this tournament and advancing on. And that's a very passionate hockey country. They're behind their sports and athletics, world championships and Olympics. You know, even in some of those bigger events where we're going into it, I'm a permanent resident there, so I can now say we, but going into them, you kind of know there's no chance. You know, world championships, I think it was 2 years ago, it was in Lafayette. Lafayette beat Canada 2-0 in like the first or second game. So it was always like super exciting hype and city was going crazy and everything. And it was nuts. It was awesome. But the, you know, the reality kind of was like, man, that's just the second game of the tournament. You know, it's like, slow down. but let's not go that angle. The angle is that the passion's there. The people are super stoked. The kids are stoked. Martin Slavinch, he did his interview and he was like, you know, what are they gonna, they asked what he's gonna do if they celebrate. He's like, I hope we get ice cream. I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah.
Great kid. I played with his dad actually in the KHL, Dinamo Riga, Rodrigo Lavinch. He's a great guy, awesome dude. His kid now plays in the USHL and he's committed to St. Cloud State. So pretty cool story there. But just for the fans and for the people of Lafayette, it's awesome. There's a kid I work with, Richard Simonovich. He's actually on the team number 3 and his family's over in at the tournament watching it. They took the trip over to watch this and they were there for that. So I know they're super excited, super passionate, proud, all that, you know, good stuff. So I hope the kids carry on and continue. And you know, they're up against it coming in. I think they got, I don't know who they got next.
I think it's Sweden. I think
Sweden. Or they have Sweden?
I think so.
Yeah. But regardless, it's awesome for Lappy. It's awesome. It's a big step for Lappy in hockey. This is the World Juniors. So it's not like a fluke, you know, like, oh, it's, you know, the other teams have their B team. Like that's sometimes a world championship. That's what they say, but the World Juniors, like this is everybody's mm-hmm. top junior kid. So for these kids to pull that out, that's a big feat. It's awesome. And they're very, you know, I'm very passionate again about.
And your population there is like 2 million,
1.8
in Lafayette.
I always chirp Lafayans about it. Just to be lippy, but there's no way there's 1.8. There's probably 1.8 million Latvians in the world. What? There's not 1.8 million.
It's crazy
to think in Latvia.
Think about that. Like I think Toronto has almost 3 million population. Just the city of Toronto, right? Yep. And you got a country, like if you could put together, I mean, Toronto would muster a really good team also, but that's sort of the Canadian mecca.
I mean, their resource, the hockey, that's the thing. In Toronto, that's the thing. They don't have the pool to pull from. So it's development is key and it's tough too. You know, cause you also don't have, so with Toronto, like you play in your inner city squads, inner cities games and whatever the GTHL, it's super competitive because you have so many players. Like the thing is for Latvia, it's tough to get competition. Like, there's only so many organizations, right? So you make one super team of like youth kids, 12-year-olds, like they would mop up the rest of the country. Like, you know what I mean? So trying to keep that, you know, find competitive games and at that youth level, that's really important. That's where you sort of make your strides as a young player. Like for us, I think coming up at like, I first got to get that at like 11 years old, start to come to Toronto and play those big tournaments, Silver Sticks and, you know, what else was there? There's a couple of tournaments that are still there. Beltire, I think, was a big tournament, a bunch of big tournaments. But that competitiveness, you know, competition, gauge your game, see new things, you know, that's the big thing. Find like as those youth kids, like when you go, for me coming up to Canada, I got to see different types of players, you know, different things happen on that shape, different things that players did on that ice. Like that's what kind of gives players, I think, in my opinion, different views of the game and that creativity kind of goes off. So you think about that in Latvia, you're kind of playing against the same players all the time. So it's tough, but no, I don't know. I'm sorry going on a rant, but
like speaking of creativity, keeping it at World Juniors, like one of your American players did like the Michigan or Mike Legg, whatever you want to call it. And actually in my league that I run here locally, a kid did it as well. Like actually two times it's happened already. So like, I think it's going to happen a lot more this coming season. It's just a skill that a lot of players can just do now. And I was talking to my dad the other day about it. And it's funny because like that kid's going to be on, you know, up in Canada on TSN or Sportsnet, he'll be on like the play of the week until someone knocks him off. Right. But if Rob Shrimp did it back when we played, it'd be like, you cocky kid, you don't belong in this game. You know what I mean? Like, I know we touch on it, but it's like, it's crazy to, and like, I obviously, I'm buddies with you and follow you on social media and see, you're still doing it and showing kids but it's just, to me, it's funny how now it's like you're praised, like, holy cow, look at the creativity and like, look at the breath of fresh air of these young kids. And then when Rob Shrimp is doing it, it's like, get the whipping belt out. Like you sit at the end of the bench. You don't try that ever.
I know. It's tough to eat, but it is what it is. I'm happy that it's coming, but it's crazy. Like for me, not my opinion of it. That's just hockey in a nutshell. It's very slow to evolve. That stuff is creative and marketing stuff that's marketable. Sometimes in our game takes a long time to evolve. So even I remember when I was playing the NHL, I remember there was said, like, you guys better not be on that Twitter stuff. And I just remember thinking, like, man, that's crazy to think like that, because it's like 20 branches of marketing. You know, it's 20 branches of reputability. Is that the right word? Reputability for this one logo that we all wear. 20 guys branch out and have followings or whatever. Some guys aren't going to do it at all, but that's kind of the mentality a little bit. So with this stuff, it's interesting, because with the Michigan, like, you know, I think we have touched on it before, but like, how else are you going to score from behind the net?
No, like, honestly, you know what I mean? It's like,
objectively. How do you defend?
Yeah, no, but if you can scoop, if you can like spatula pick it that quick and you're just on the move, like it gives you an instantaneous opportunity to score.
Yeah.
From not even a scoring position. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, so I'm not knocking it. I'm just saying, I bet you it happens like 10 or 12 times this year in the NHL. Like, obviously goalies will be wise to it and defenders will try to, you know, sort of prevent it with their stick as well. But I think the attempts will be high just because a lot of guys can just do it now.
Oh, yeah. It goes quick. As soon as they come on the ice, again, I'm on the group.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Group of guys that I have here, Jordan Gavin and a group of his peers, they're all top end WHO picks. As soon as we jump on the ice, the first, like that little skate around when the pucks get dropped, I drop them out of the bag. They all pick it up. They all grab it and boom, boom, boom. So they're all doing everybody, you know, defensemen.
Yeah.
There's four or five defensemen out there that are doing it. So it's very interesting. And it's, I got a whole theory on it from the blue line, you know, I do. So I'm teaching that stuff inside the Space Force hockey community on what that looks like and how to do it and why it would work. And that's sort of like my soundboard to like explain my theory on it, you know, with objectiveness. Cause it, like you said, at the end of the day, I was like, nobody wanted to hear it. Even if I wanted to tell you why it was effective, it was like, dude, just shut up and don't do it. I'm like, why not? Like I could never, and I've said it in some interviews too. I'm like, I could never just wrap my head around that and just be submissive to like not thinking about this. Cause I saw it like objectively, like, and also, yeah, it's pretty cool. It is pretty cool. It's different. You know, it's like, you know, they called it hot dog, but I called it different. So that's, you know, my theory on that and teaching kids how to do it. So brings in a different perspective of the game, the dimension of the air. And that's unique. And it's something unutilized. We use it with sauce passes and now we're starting to use it from behind the net. But Stevie, I think we've had this conversation, but if I came down on the ice on you in a one-on-one, I pick this puck up the ice and I'm like two stick lengths away from you. The puck is on my hip. Like, how are you going to stop me?
I'm just going to say, I'm going to play your body. Like you're going to get an opportunity to take a shot or lacrosse style shot, but I can't, I'm not going to be like a soccer goalie trying to get in front of you know, you can with once you have the puck in the air, like I know you can move it side to side. So if I can't get there with the body, if you're out of reach for me, then I'm just sort of gonna, you know, sort of concede some space and hopefully the gap closes on me and I can play the body on you. Is what I as a D-man is what I would be thinking immediately. But
so it's kind of unique, right? You bring that perspective into it, use that dimension. It's interesting. I know I'm excited to see, hopefully it comes. So I'm in the trenches now that the door is open, instead of being salty about it and being, you know, sort of suppressed at a younger age. Now I get a chance to, I'll show these kids how to use it. Watch this. This is fun. And it's good. It's effective. It's not just about like, oh, I want them to do the tricks. It's like, again, it's objective and it's like, it changes certain dynamics. So, you know, I'll go one last step, like at the blue line, I think like if the puck came from low to high, and everybody's down low, I'm a defenseman, offensive zone. The puck comes from low to high. All the guys are down low. I would scoop it up and start walking the blue line with it. And blue line, I can have a choice to like launch it. It's got it on high stick. I would launch it from a hip level, or I would keep carrying it across the blue line. And at some point, if it all fell down, I'd either launch it in the air, lob it in the air. And while it hangs up in the air, it's going to give all the forwards time to like kind of converge in the middle of the ice and attack that spot. Or I would launch it, lob it into a corner, the same scenario. As it's lobbed in the air, it's like 3-4 seconds of time and time bought. Our players are going to converge on that puck and like hound it. So it just kind of, again, changes a different perspective of the game. And I don't know, I just want to put that into our universe of this podcast.
What's your, I know I think you said you were like New York, Rhode Island, LA. You've gone all across the country so far on the Rob Schrem world tour. What is like World Juniors a big thing? Or I know it's a weird World Juniors right now because it's happening right now. And do your American players down south,
you know, it really kind of came to me when Latvia won that game. I was like, oh my God, yeah, World Jays. Down in LA, like nothing about it. And I'm with that group of kids that technically that should be something that they're kind of amped up about or like have the pulse of, you know?
Yeah.
No talk about it. Even though out in Rhode Island, no talk about, you know, not about the pre-tournament talk, nothing. It was weird. And then I saw Latvia, sort of tuning in, you know, see Connor Bedard's doing some snipes. So the Michigan from, I think it was the Murray kid.
Ken Johnson.
Ken Johnson. Sorry, I said the wrong name. I was thinking Drake Murray from LA, but Johnson. So, and then I saw the goal and then I was like, wait a minute, there's nobody in the stands.
You know, in Canada.
It's like, yeah, this is Canada.
And it's the same.
This isn't in like.
The same here. Like,
you know.
And it's strange because like Canada lives for junior hockey. Like we have what, 60 major junior hockey teams throughout Canada with back the WHL in Ontario. And then World Juniors is like, even as a kid, it's like the thing I would live, like not live for, but you're like, oh, I can't wait. Like, yeah, NHL is happening all season long, but I can't wait for Christmas time to watch a World Juniors, to watch these 18, 19 year old kids play that I would love to be. But now that it's on, it's weird that it's, I don't know if it's because it's not, it's like hockey's not in the air yet, you know, like, or if it's just, it has to be Christmas holiday seasonal tournament. It's unfortunate for the players because I think they deserve a lot more respect than what unfortunately has been given to them with the fan base and, you know, sort of the following. Like, I'll be honest myself, very many periods. I know it's just heading into the quarterfinals, but normally, like, I'm a guy that will watch every, at least for Canada, for sure, every round robin game. I'll grab a couple other non-Canadian teams playing, but I think I've only watched maybe a couple periods so far.
It's tough. You know, for me personally, like in the development space, like I'm focused on like the off-season developing kids, and I'm sure that the kids that are doing it are more in that stage as well, like kind of summertime and focused on getting ready for the season. I'm only speaking from my side and what I see. I think it's everybody's focus is so different right now. Having it in August is kind of weird. I don't know what. It's just weird. It is, you know, because I'm usually pumped up for it too, Danny. And I even being American, I grew up in Canada, right? Like I played junior, whatever. I started playing tier two junior and 14 up there. I get it. Like World Juniors is huge and pumped up for that tournament. I can't say that every other American is as well, but it just has a weird vibe right now. And then there's plenty of other controversy and other stuff kind of kicking around. You know, it's made a little bit of a whatever onto this event. You know, it's tough. So, but I can, not that that has a sway on why I'm not watching, not on a boycott. It's just, I'm busy, you know, yeah. I 5-6 hours ice a day, and my kids are doing 2-3 hours in the gym and 2 hours of ice. So it's really kind of not on people's calendar to, you know, then pop on the game. So it sucks for the kids are there, but I don't think, you know, for what we touched on earlier, the Latvian kids don't care. They're really happy about their win and that sort of thing. So there's those storylines that are still happening, which are awesome. It's pretty cool, but it's just unfortunate they're not getting those crowds, because that's part of it, as that U20 tournament, having a big crowd and, you know, doing a dance in front of a full building is always fun.
Yeah, like I know the year I played was in Grand Forks, obviously in the U.S., but it was like, that's one of the highlights of my career. Just, you know that everyone's at home watching and the building sold out and it's loud. And you know, we were fortunate too with the NHL lockout, but I'm assuming it'll be different this coming Christmas. It's going to be in Halifax. It should be back ramped up again. It's weird that it's very seasonal, I guess. Like, but like you said, it's a different time when guys are on the ice more, working out and everything. You know, parents are driving their kids all over the place to try to prep for training camps. And I know I'm dealing with the pro guys right now. The skates are just, we're a couple weeks into our skates and now we're getting into like the ramp up mode. So we had 2 hours on Monday where I ran them through some practice situations, some flow stuff, situations. And then they played a 5-on-5, and like this 5-on-5 game was like a NHL exhibition game. Like it was like, they're starting to ramp it up, which almost brings me to the fun element of the pro athlete side of sort of last minute cramming before training camp and fitness testing. What was your go-to meal? I know everyone, the player, you know, a month away and it's no alcohol, no carbs. What was your go-to meal that you had, you know, to try to get you into the eyesight test that you wanted to look at going in?
I mean, it's hilarious to look at it, how like from younger to like when I was actually there, you know what I mean? Like trying to get into when I was there, totally different. Like, and that's, someone asked me over the last couple of days, like, what would you change if you could go back? And I said, like, younger, I would have figured it out quicker about like off ice stuff, training and eating and all that good stuff. I think like back then it was like, all right, like no more. Like I thought like eating like a grilled chicken sandwich on a whole wheat bun from Subway was like, okay, I'm eating well, I'm ready. You know what I mean? I'm not eating crap. It's like, it's so stupid to even say it loud. I probably shouldn't say it to our audience, but that's the truth. You know, I didn't have any idea. I was kind of clueless of like what that meant. And, you know, then once I got starting to get into pro and playing a couple of years in NHL, it's like, then like the diet part was a lot easier to understand, but it also felt better too. You know what I mean? Like during my training, eating like, you know, I did like a kind of like a caveman diet, all protein, and no carbs. And it got, for me, shredded up. You know, I never was going to be like, my genetics don't give me the chance to have a six pack, but I was like jacked for me. And, that sort of stuff was, you know, like salmon and cottage cheese, you know, steak and nuts and strawberries in the morning. Like the meals were, it was pretty good. It was really good. It was more of a chore when I was younger, because it was stressful. Like you said, it was cram time. Oh, I got to cram. I got to get the body fat down. I got testing in a month. Crap. You know, that emotion versus like when you make it and you kind of have some comfort, you know, they're two different emotions, you know? And also when you prepare, when you are prepared throughout the whole summer or the last month, it's less stressful. You know, even if you screw up a couple of times, you're like, yeah, whatever. But if that's your only month to like cram, you're like, oh shit. You know, it's like, you know, it's an emotional roller coaster. It was for me at least,
I can't really eat asparagus. Like it was almost like August was chicken breast and asparagus, like on repeat.
Yeah.
Just like, and then I can't eat asparagus anymore. Like it was like, it's like a food where I have to eat around. Like, I just can't touch this thing anymore. But it made me think of it because My brother's a ref in the NHL. On the weekend we had, you know, like we just made a couple tequila drinks and I'm like, you want anything? He's like, no, I'm good. Like looked at him like, really? And then I'm like, oh, okay. So he's in the same mode where it's like, can't drink now. We got a month left till his training camp. But no, I just thought I'd ask what was your sort of take on that? I think you're right. I think players now, I mean, fitness and health has gotten to be the foremost thing as an athlete, that guy training and eating properly all the time. It's not like you're cramming for the exam just before training camp, like it was sort of back when we were playing, right?
That was totally different.
Now I see kids have like their protein and they're eating right and obviously not drinking as much, and so it's becoming like we've said multiple times, like it's almost becoming a 12th of the year thing with hockey, right? Whereas we would play lacrosse or baseball, go vacation, and it's just like ice is always available, right? Which I'm not saying is a good thing or a bad thing. I think there are some elements of becoming more athletic that will help you in your sport specific situation, mm-hmm. and not just I'm a really good hockey player but I can't catch a baseball or I can't throw a football with my wrong hand, you know. So I do see the both sides of it a little bit, because it's almost like keeping up with the Joneses, right? Like, well, if Rob Shrimp's on the ice, you know, 350 days of the year, if I'm only on 300, he's going to be 50 days better than I am.
Yeah,
right.
It's like, tough to say, because I did it as a kid, but I did it out of like passion. I love the game. From like 10 to 15 years old, I spent every day at the rink, the whole day. And the lucky thing for me was that it was free. That's the truth. I'm getting to bomb around here now and I see like, holy crap, like Jesus, like $500 an hour here, like, you know, deal at 350 here. I'm like, I started doing the math. I'm like, I would never play.
Yeah.
Cause all that ice I got was because of Don Kern. I was lucky. I was fortunate. So I guess people that ask me about my path, I'd have to always have to calculate that and say, listen,
yeah.
I got lucky. I had free ice or very cheap ice, and I had an unbelievable mentor, him and his son. So those are things that are like, if you don't have that in your path, those are two variables that if you don't have them, you're not going to have the same path as I did.
Yeah.
That's the truth. You can't mimic it unless you have the money to do it, which I was getting like 6-7 hours of ice.
Well, like that, it is crazy, though. Like I know locally, I'm just speaking in the London area, I guess surrounding area within a driving range, I guess. Or a drive, it's expensive. And I would be one of the better development guys that's just sort of getting into, just because you've done it as a actual player and your knowledge base is there and you care about the kids. And I know my price is a lot lesser than some of the other things that are out there, because it's like, you're not trying to make a living. Like I have a job. This is like a healthy passion, a hobby, addictive hobby for me, right? So I guess that's one thing I would say, is there's like, whoever is the most expensive doesn't make them the best, or whoever has the biggest following on Instagram doesn't make them, because I see a lot of these guys that, and I'm sure we'll have a show for this, but it's I get, my inbox gets full on Instagram from, I don't even know what you call it, like you can share a reel or share a story or something like that, and just some of the knowledge that's being shared for kids, well, they're on the ice teaching kids, or supposed to be teaching kids, and now it's out in the, you know, social media space for everyone to learn from. And I'm like, holy cow, this is just like controlled babysitting that you're paying for, that your kid is buzzing around the ice almost like American Gladiators, you know, whatever that last event of the American Gladiators, where you have the gauntlet or whatever, you have to go through all these little things. It's like, I see some of these things where these kids are doing all this stuff. I'm like, please tell me when this would ever occur in a game. You know what I mean? Like you're better to have a defending player on the offensive faceoff dot and you come out of the corner, do your little spin and then attack. That's more variable than just going around these obstacles all over the ice. And it's like, and then at the very end, it's like, okay, just shoot it in the net. It's like, sweet.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it frustrates me a bit, because you know, it's money for one, it's time that the player could be using to actually benefit, or to a greater degree, I guess, benefit themselves, but it's just, it's mind boggling to me. It's like, are you in it to for the business of it? Because it's expensive for parents and, you know, you can make good money in it to actually develop a player and make, and you care about making them better and seeing them succeed or get up to the next level or be more productive on the ice and when they are playing. But you know, it's, that's, I guess that's the end of my little rant, but it's
a matter of like, you know, what's what does development mean? Are you time killing or are you developing? That's my question with the same stuff that I see that you're talking about. We're on the same wavelength with that, but is it time killing or is it, you know, for me with the, let's say with a shooting lesson, I'll try to get that shoot. I'll try, if someone wants to do an hour or 2 hours, I'll try to give them everything I've learned over 30 years in 2 hours, not 2 years, like 2 hours. And if you have to come back, you have to come back. I'm here if you need to come back, but it's interesting, you know, and you don't want to, people have to eat in some regard. Some people, you know, some people it's their job, but
I'm not
like,
trying to squat. I'm not trying to ruin.
No, I get you.
Careers. You know what I mean? I'm just saying like, as a, someone that's gone through it, I'm like, I would never put my kid there. You know, like I'm just watching it. I'm like, I would never have my kid go there, but whether they have 100,000 followers on Instagram and they're,
it's kind of learning, like, it's like not poison. That's part of every business. It always seems like you have to like, it seems like that's the way the channels like chop everybody's legs down. I've just come to terms of like, you know what? I don't care. I'm just going to keep on this pace. And the people that come on the ice, they're going to get what I get. And then they're going to, the results speak for themselves. And I don't have to do any sort of knee chopping, you know, I just, well, if you're going to ask me about it, I'll tell you about it. And I'll just tell you, and I say it direct. I don't think the obstacle courses are beneficial. Just my opinion. And you know, there's certain things you watch, you know, you like, you see the pro guys when they're practicing in the summer, what you see is simplicity, very simple stuff, very to the point and game specific stuff. It's not. And that's what, and that's coming from as an ex-player, what I did in the summertime is, well, it was very like, there's a couple things you need to tinker on and fix and get really, really good at. And then there's like the, you know, and conditioning, and there's the sprint work and the speed work, like simple stuff. Like you narrow these things down. It's very basic. It's not like so much like busy work. And sometimes the busy work is flashy to a parent. And again, if you're going to, I'm not going to go in the rink and be like, knock this guy's knees down. But if that parent comes to me and ask, I'm going to say like, no, I don't think you should be doing that. But
you know, I'm with you. Like, I think the productivity of your players will speak for itself. And I guess that's sort of where I'm going. I know, I think you said you're coming this way. Were you not? You're coming London way. When are you?
Yeah, I'm coming to London next week.
Like yes. The week. Okay. Thanks for the heads up.
I just wanted to make an announcement on our podcast.
Made the spare so bed for you or something, but
surprise.
So it was like the week of the 22nd.
Yeah.
Or the fall. Okay. So Monday and Tuesday, we have our pro skate, Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday, we have our pro skate in the morning. So obviously come out to that. And then I run that league in the afternoon or evenings that you can come out for Monday and Thursday, but
cool.
Get the band back together. Maybe
let's go, buddy.
Flex your muscle out there. But yeah, no, I guess what I was getting at is I just feel bad for the parent that's trying to do everything they can for their player and don't have the resources or I guess the internal knowledge to know what is good and what isn't good. And just the bells and whistles aren't always, and the, oh, I'm posting about your kid is not always the best versus the more just stealth guy or group of people that
I feel like
that just do it.
I feel terrible pulling out the phone, but I've had people say it though. They're like, we don't know what you're up to. And I'm like, but then it's also like, it is my lane. I mentor players. I coach them through their video, and then I teach them on the ice. So it's kind of my lane. But I'm also like, I was on the ice, and I feel like a sellout by like bringing my phone out. You know, I'm like,
I
hate it. I do.
I'm the same as you. I mean, you can jump on my Instagram. I think I have like 7 posts, and I know I get in trouble from our producer and everyone that I need to post more as is. But and that's over like a course of like 12 years or however long Instagram has been active. But I'm the same. Like what I have done is there's a guy locally that's, loves hockey, and he's coming and videoing So on my website, DannySilver.com, there's video footage of, or like slowly I'll keep dropping it more. It's not really like do this drill type thing, but it's like just sort of video proof of these are good players and this is what they do type thing. But yeah, I struggle. I couldn't do the, my phone actually stays in the locker room when I go on the ice. So that's why I brought him out. But
two, like some examples, so like they can see themselves with technique. And then the other piece I'll ask, like, because I have decent follow. I don't know. I have like 10,000 people on Instagram and whatever, 20 something thousand on Twitter. So kind of a platform. It's just how you use it. You know, I don't know. I would rather be more like, if I, you know, here's this player I'm working with and like, it helps those kids too. That's what I started to realize that they really like that.
Yeah.
If I, you know, I'm proud to work with them, proud to put them on my platforms. It's kind of like that sort of is cool for them. So that's helped me feel better about it in some regard. But again, when I'm on the ice, like I'm more focused on like, is his head up? Is he doing the drill right? You know, I'm like, again, that makes me feel like a little bit of a sellout to be like zipping the phone. I'm like, damn it. Like, I don't know. It makes me cringe. Anyways, we can pass on this subject and have a whole topic of this on one of our podcasts. But I think you get a little, people are getting a little bit of a view of what we see. Maybe we can even do a ask us anything sort of thing. If parents want to chime in and send some questions and ask what we think. And again, be honest, and we're not looking to like ruin somebody's, you know, career or life from what they're doing on the ice, but answer some direct questions. Because as of now, we just kind of give out our thoughts. So maybe there's people out there that want those answers, you know, and they can easily write into us and get those answered and try to see what makes sense for their plans in the summertime as far as development and balance of practice.
Yeah. Yeah. Like some of the drills I do for like our forwards, just like low cutbacks with back pressure on you. Like you got to defend me trying to lean on you and poke my stick. You got to lift my stick as you're attacking. Like there's no sex appeal to that. Like if someone's videoing it, it looks like two guys just sort of like half battling their way to the player gets a lot out of that. You know what I mean? It's not like you're stick handling around this little obstacle that you could have in your basement and you could be doing the same thing while you're paying to be on the ice. But anyways, like you said, I think we'll probably save that for a explosion of an episode where we can just
rant and go off. It's positive. It's all good. It's all good. Thing.
But I got actually speaking of that, I got a jet to my team's practice. So I got OHL draft eligible kids. We're just starting out. It's only our second practice of the year, and we should have a pretty strong team, one of the best in Ontario. So hopefully I can keep contributing to some of the kids' development. And then do you know when you land?
I'm going to Regina over the weekend to see my sister and husband. And then it's going to be either Toronto first or London first. That's why I didn't really make an announcement yet to you guys. But it'll probably be Monday or Wednesday. So
okay. Well, let me know when you come in. I'm sure you'll do a flyover and the fireworks to go off, or there's a parade of Rob Trump downtown. But I'm sure I'll hear about it before you tell me. But anyways, Rob, good connecting again. Let me know when you're back in town, and we'll jump on the ice, and you can show my kids how you snipe so much.
All right, brother. It's great catching up with you. Thanks, everybody, for listening in. Check us out on the Shrimp and Civrette Show on Twitter and Instagram. Our own personal lines, at Danny Civrette. At Rob Shrimp. We look forward to seeing you guys again next week.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Shrimp and Civrette Show. Don't forget to subscribe to the Nation Network YouTube channel to watch all of our video breakdowns.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.